If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Listening to Railroad Earth and Come and Go Moon from their forthcoming album, All for the Song, due out April 22nd. Entering their third decade now, Railroad Earth have solidified their position in the jam world as a bluegrass-tinged Americana outfit. With their notoriety and hustle, also sadly came change in 2018 with the passing of founding member Andy Goslin. So when they went to make their new record, All for the Song, they headed to New Orleans and recruited singer-songwriter and producer Anders Osborne to help at the dials. I caught up with drummer Kerry Harmon to talk about the making of All for the Song and much more. What a beautiful record, first off. I just want to say I just had a chance to, you know, I listened through when I first got it, and I had to listen through again this morning, and congratulations on a beautiful record.
Oh, thank you. That's great. I'm glad it's working. I'm glad it sounds good. It's been so long, you know. It's 3 years ago we made it, so almost.
Yeah, I guess the pandemic got in the way, right? I mean, that's sort of the story for everybody.
It did, and yeah, we kind of didn't want to rush it out. We wanted to kind of let it sit and wait till the world was functioning again, you know, and we could be out playing and everything else. So yeah, we just sort of held everything up.
I'm curious about the song The Great Divide and the band's sound more generally. The Great Divide to me encapsulates the band's sound, but what it also does is it's an ode to that other band that had a song about the Great Divide. And that, of course, is the band. who, for lack of a better word, invented the genre where you find yourselves in now. Because you're no longer simply a bluegrass band. You're no longer simply an Americana band. With this record, you really are kind of a rock, a band. Like you're like a, it's hard to put labels on things, but in the same way that the band sort of has a unique sound, I think you guys really do have a unique sound now. And that certainly comes across in this record. How important is it for you guys as musicians to sort of evolve the sound and evolve what you're going for each time out?
Well, it is. It is important, but I think it's more important to not consciously do that. I think we have to just kind of let the moment and the music kind of lead. And it's more about not constraining ourselves to say we need to make the record like this. Or, yeah, I remember in the very early days, getting ready to make Burn the House, make the second record, and being said, okay, we're going to need another head. We're going to need another thing like this. And then you had Drag Them Down. Like there was requests sometimes when people tried to put in, especially to Todd, you know, can you make another song like this kind of thing? And I think those are the mistakes you make, you know, when you're trying to recreate. And if we just let ourselves go, and especially one thing that was cool about this one is Todd really didn't let us in on a lot of the songs. We got down there, got set up, and okay, here's one. And it was just pretty wide open to do what we wanted to do. And I think that's where the evolution comes from more than any kind of conscious, you know, we better grow, we better change. I think there's so much in this band that kind of wants to do that, that it's more being careful not to restrain it.
I think it would be important to mention Andy's passing, obviously, and sort of being inspired to do this record maybe a little bit differently this go around than the way you had in the past. How important was it for you to do something different without Andy in tow for this record?
Wow. I don't know that we did. There's obviously just a giant hole, you know, and just actually going into a studio, into a recording situation without that piece of us was scary, not just the instrumentation, but the perspective, you know. Everyone here, it's such a molecule that you pull out one thing and the discussions change. You know, he represented a certain point in all of those creative decisions, and we all do. So it's kind of interesting that we made it without his instruments as far as we did within the recording process itself. And we brought in Mike Robinson to do some of the banjo and steel and that kind of work, which sort of filled some of the Andy stuff. And Anders wound up playing a lot of guitar, which helped. But yeah, it's a good point. Again, I don't think it was how would a record without Andy sound, like, let's go try that. It was more, how can we make a record as the five of us, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure I specifically mean the sound, but the other records were either recorded at home or close to home. And this record was, you mentioned Anders, was recorded in New Orleans. Was it a question of wanting to work with Anders, or was it a question of wanting to get out, get to New Orleans, and then finding the right person to help you in New Orleans?
The plan with him was in place while Andy was still with us.
Okay.
And it was in place for a year. And in fact, Anders came up and wrote, co-wrote a little bit with Todd at his house, and they hung out. And so it was always the idea to get out of our comfort zone of being home. Let's just go somewhere. And so I think it was Alex, our manager, that had the idea of Anders. And then, you know, he and Todd got together, hit it off. Everything was good. As Andy was sicker and better, we kept trying to make the plans and kept changing them. So it kept getting put off. And then when he passed, we could either sort of retreat to our corners or find this as a reason to get together and deal with this together. And I think it started to represent something else, you know? And so we went down there and did it that way. And it was so important that we did, because we couldn't confuse it with any other aspects of our lives. We've never just gone somewhere where there wasn't a gig but really the gig was to record.
Yeah.
So you wake up in the morning, you go to the studio, and when we're done, we're all going to go out to dinner together. Amazingly, in 20 years, that never happened. Right. And that was really important. So if record or no record, having that couple of weeks together, especially at that time when everybody was that raw from what had happened, I think has a lot to do with why we're here still. I think it was really important. So, yeah, that's what the experience was.
You've managed to collaborate on and make albums with two legendary guys, for lack of a better word. You worked with Warren Haynes on his record, and now you've enlisted Anders to work on this record. I'm curious about the influence. I think the influence is fairly obvious when people hear this record and they hear the harp playing and the horns and the Toussaint-like beat of one of the tunes. Like, there's a lot of New Orleans in this record. Is that something that Anders brought forward to you guys, or something that, you know, just being in New Orleans kind of came out? Like, how did that, you know, how did those sounds come out of you guys? You know, I think of It's So Good and Come and Go Moon. Like, those are, to me, those sound like songs that had to have been recorded in New Orleans. How important, how much influence was the city that you were working in, and Anders working with you? How important were those two things to the sound of this record?
Really important. And I think Todd brought songs indicative of it too. I think he had, since he had that build up time, he was like, okay, I think he considered it a New Orleans record for him as a songwriter. So I think he had been developing the tunes with that in mind, first of all. But then, yeah, it's New Orleans. I mean, yeah, it's awesome. You know, everything you eat every day, everything goes into that, what's going on there. And obviously Anders is I don't know what you would call it, the representative of the city, right, in such a way.
He's the ambassador.
Know, he embodies it, his enthusiasm, the musicians he calls upon. I mean, Stanton came in and loaded me his drums the first day, so the whole record's made on his drums.
Wow.
You know, it was that kind of community coming together feeling every day. So it was awesome.
I did not know that tidbit about Stanton's drums. That's amazing, because, wow. Just, you know, as a percussionist, as a drummer, it must be, you know, there, that town is so rife with incredible drummers, whether it's Stanton Moore or Johnny Vidakovich, or there's so many incredible drummers in that town that must have been, as a side note, thrilling for you to work and play on these kits, right?
Absolutely. And when we got in there, the backline kit that was in the studio, Anders and I had talked about the sound we were going for. And I got in there and there was very much this modern 80s Japanese kit in there. And, I messed around with it for an hour trying to get it to sound like what we wanted to. We both like, we're just not dealing with the right instrument. And he's like, let me make a call. And Stanton comes rolling in with this drum kit. It was perfect. It was all ready to go and sounded exactly what we were looking for. It was an old Rogers kit. And it was the right sound, you know? So had we not been there with those people around, no, we probably couldn't have done all that. So
it's the gumbo, right? It's the musical gumbo.
Exactly.
It's
in the water. It's in the air. It's
tremendous. You guys have been out on the road. Have you been playing some of these songs already? Like, have you been road testing, and what's the reaction been like to some of these songs?
We have been, and it's been great. You know, some of the stuff we played, we were playing in early 2020, right before everything shut down. We had a great divide. Some of those songs we've had in front of people for a while.
Right.
But yeah, in the show, Jesus, the other night at the Cap, we must have done five of them anyway, which is great. Come and Go Moon being the most recent one. And we brought out a Blues Highway, just made it out in the last month or so. It's fun to reimagine and rearrange them, stretch out on them a little bit. So yeah, it's been good for us to kind of rediscover.
What's that like playing in a room like the Cap, where it is rich in music legacy and legacy that many of the members of this band appreciate? I know I've had a conversation with Tim about the Grateful Dead and how important the Grateful Dead were to him, and certainly that room evokes the ghosts of I don't want to say Christmas past, but a band's past. You know, playing in a room like the Cap, how important is that to you as a musician, but also to you as a guy in a band that's playing music that's very representative of what that room's all about.
Yeah, no, it's huge. I mean, there's ghosts there. You know, you feel it. The stage feels good. It's the same thing in the Fillmore. Even though I know the building's changed and everything when you're in San Francisco, that place has the same feeling to me. You know, you feel like you're part of something. It makes a difference. There's definitely an influence on the performance. There's a pressure on the performance that you feel that, I think, as opposed to a blank slate. You know, you're taking a stage that's been inhabited by all those great shows and those great people and energy that's been there. And I think that it remains, you know, for sure.
You are touring a bit now to close out March, and I assume that there will be more dates and more festivals come the spring and the summer. Is the plan to get out there as much as you can now that things are sort of back to normal, so to speak?
I think we get out as much as we can, as long as they are back to normal. I think we can learn our lessons. Like, as soon as it gets warm, and the summer is very busy, thank goodness. So that's a welcome thing. It's a strong summer. We're going to be very busy in a lot of places. We're going to be outside. And let's hope that's the way things stay and everything is just fine. Because it's been tough. It's been a lot of stops and starts. And I think we'll make hay while the sun is shining, for sure, this summer. We'll be very busy.
Apart from getting the band back together, so to speak, and being out on the road again and seeing fans, I would imagine being able to see colleagues at festivals, whether it's at the Dark Star Jubilee or High Sierra, that's also going to be pretty exciting because these are people that you probably have kept up with via text or email or what have you, but not actually being able to see some of your friends that you've built careers with. I mean, alongside over the last 20 years or 30 years almost. I mean, that must be exciting too, to be able to catch up with some of these people in a live setting again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were able to do a little bit of it in the fall and in the winter because we do that Strings and Soul thing in Mexico in December. So, you know, it's a handful of bands that we haven't hung out with in a long time. And so that was a good taste to that. Yeah, but with all the festivals coming up, it's always great when all these separate little entourages run into each other, you know? We're all out doing the same thing in our different vehicles. So when they all collide at one spot, it's great to meet up and catch up, for sure. It's a big highlight.
I'm curious what you think of the scene right now because, you know, there are the likes of Leftover and String Cheese who sort of helped create this scene. And then there's you guys and there's Green Sky and there's the Dusters. And then there's the newcomers, you know, Kitchen Dwellers and Billy Strings. Like, this has really evolved into a scene on its own. You're not just part of the jam band community with your niche genre, but the genre really has grown and could really stand on its own if it had to at this point with so many great bands sort of learning from brothers past and carrying on the traditions and reimagining the tradition. That must be fruitful for you as well.
It is, and I think there's especially recently, there seems to be a lot more younger bands coming up and definitely the next chapter of this thing, which is cool. You know, because it has to continue to evolve and go on. And it has, and yet you still have, you know, there's still members of the dead running around.
Yeah, thing, right.
You know? Bobby's still out there every chance he can, you know.
Yes.
You know, so much for the Fare Thee Well, because those guys didn't pause, right? I mean, they found ways to just keep it going. So if they can do it, it's pretty amazing.
Well, I think, you know, part of that is that I don't know if you've seen on Instagram or on social media, but Bobby's workout routine would put many of us to shame. I mean, the things that he's doing with medicine balls and running and
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like, I think many 40-year-olds would be jealous of the kind of work he's putting in just to stay out on the road.
Okay. Well, there you go.
This record, like you said, has been sort of sitting for a while. Is there a chance that you guys are working on another record, or is it something that you're, you know, Todd's always thinking about? Is it something that you guys talk about? I mean, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is so exciting that this record's finally out there and people are finally going to be able to hear it as it was created. But is there plans already underway for more new music from RRE?
There's not that we have met about, but it's time to talk about. And you're right, because you kind of get stuck in this thing where nobody's heard this record, so you feel like you're still in that spot. But creatively, this is where we were a couple of years ago,
yeah,
in reality. And there should be, considering how long it might take to get done, we should probably be on the next one right now. So I'm sure the songwriters and the experience of, you know, what always mixes this up for us is getting out and doing shows. And so that has started, and I'm sure, you know, the juices will flow now. We'll start to get together on this, but I think you're right. You're on top of it. It's time to figure out the next step of that, so that we have something else in the works.
I think All for the Song Part 2 is in order. I mean, it's such a great record, and the collaboration with Anders just seems so perfect. Thanks so much for taking the time, man. And my best to you and the rest of the band, and congratulations on All for the Song.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the interest.
For more on this great band, including tour dates, visit railroad.earth. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of All for the Song. Here is Runnin' Wild.
You.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.